Hi, Svetla. It's great to have you on the show today.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, I'm wondering if you could explain briefly what Cinema Politica is all about and what your organization is aiming to do.
Cinema Politica is the largest campus-based exhibition network for independent political documentary film and video in the world. We actually started our screenings at Concordia University almost 13 years ago. And Concordia is the mothership of the organization, where we premiere the latest, most powerful political documentary films that are coming up throughout the years. So at Concordia, we have screenings every Monday night. They're all by donation. And they're open to the public at large as well. The purpose of Cinema Politica was to create a space where we could bring together political artists, audiences, and communities, as well as local organizers from the university, not only, but also the city of Montreal at large, and to create a space where political documentary can serve as a launch pad to political activism. So where people can see a film, talk about it, engage with it, and then learn how to get involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, as a kind of preview, I wonder if you could tell me about how you selected films for this fall series just coming up. And were you going off of any specific themes, or did you pursue a particular agenda of issues?
Well, Cinema Politica always tries to be very current. So the themes for the semester really emerge out of long hours of viewing films and conversations about them, as well as following actively what is going on around the world. The overarching theme for this semester at Concordia University in particular is called Subverting the Narrative. We have a number of films that are dealing with climate change, climate justice, corporate and government malfeasance. We have a number of films that are dealing with resource extraction and the commons, as well as direct action and resistance to different large-scale industrial projects. We have a number of films on art and music that are extremely inspiring from the Middle East in particular. So there is a big diversity in our program, but as I said, the main theme is subverting the narrative. So we're looking forward to exhibiting these films and having conversations about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's kind of a great segue, because while I was looking through the lineup, I noticed that a number of directors will be in attendance during the films. Naomi Klein is going to be there for her documentary. So, what sort of live discussions or panels can attendees look forward to?
Well, we take pride in the fact that almost all of our screenings have guest speakers in attendance. Mm-hmm. Whether or not these are the filmmakers or local activists working on the issues, or sometimes even the subjects themselves. So pretty much almost all of our screenings will have live discussions. And whenever that's not possible, we try to replace that with Skype Q&As, mm-hmm. People that are located all over the world. We're extremely excited about our next three screenings at Concordia. As you already mentioned, on October 5th, we're having the Montreal and Quebec premiere of This Changes Everything. Mm-hmm. This is the film directed by Avi Lewis, based on Naomi Klein's book, which explores the issue of capitalism versus the climate and different struggles on the ground. Naomi Klein will be in attendance, as well as Avi Lewis, and the screening, as usual, will be by donation, but we're encouraging people to give generously for that one in order for us to be able to support the film and its national run.
Yeah, great. That sounds really fantastic. Thank you very much, Svetla and Cinema Politica, for bringing these issues to light through your film lineup. And now we're going to switch things over and speak with Victoria Lean, the director of tonight's film, After the Last River. So the film will be screening at 7 p.m. at 1455 De Maisonneuve West, room H110, Concordia University. So thanks for speaking with CKUT today, Victoria. I'm wondering if you could give us a brief synopsis of your film, After the Last River.
After the Last River begins in 2008, 2 weeks after the De Beers Victor Diamond Mine opened on the traditional territory of the Attawapiskat First Nation. And I follow the community and its relationship to the mine and to the Canadian government for several years, all the way up until Idle No More. So it's a story about a community's fight to show the world that they exist, and then Canadians finding out about this community and the response not being quite exactly what they expected, in good ways and negative ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I actually have to admit that I had no idea before watching the trailer for this film that we even had diamond mines in Canada. So I wonder, how did you first hear of this? And what kind of connections did you see or wish to explore between mining in Attawapiskat and the Idle No More movement?
Great question. So this is one of De Beers' first mines outside of the African continent. There's another diamond mine of theirs in Northwest Territories, and it's the first diamond mine in Ontario. And it was also the first development, any large-scale industrial development for Northern Ontario. It's a very pristine region. It's one of the largest untouched wetlands in the world, actually. So my father is an environmental scientist, and he studies a lot of, he's an ecotoxicologist, so he studies chemicals and toxins in the environment and how they react. And in particular, he's an expert in mercury uptake in when you drain wetlands. So no one had really looked at the impact of open pit mining in what is essentially a large wetland. So organizations like Mining Watch were calling it quite experimental, that it was like mining a sponge in a bathtub. And he drew a lot of attention to potential impacts to mercury in the fish, which are a really important food source for the community. Mm-hmm. So he was involved in a couple cases that didn't go forward, and also led to additional mercury monitoring on the for De Beers that they had to undertake. So I went back in 2010. I found that the community and the mine didn't really get a lot of attention in the media, and there was a lot that people down south weren't hearing. So I wanted to go back up and talk to people about what, you know, the trade-off of having a mine on their traditional land. What were the negative impacts? What were the positive impacts? And just being there, I realized that there was a deeper story that was beyond kind of my own environmental lens coming into it. Mm-hmm. The scope of the project really expanded from there. And in terms of how it relates to Idle No More, there was really kind of not the environmental assessment process was fast-tracked. A few things were overlooked. There was a lot of outstanding questions. It was done by the company instead of a more independent review. So there was already some gaps that were occurring back then, and that was in 2005. The environmental assessment started, and the mine opened in 2008. So now we, I don't know more, part of it was triggered by the rollback and reduction in environmental protection laws. So, you know, if these issues were coming up with a mine 10 years ago, what's going to be happening with mines that are going forward now? So I think it's part of a ongoing pattern of the country, you know, where over the last few years really pushing mining development quite heavily and not really thoroughly examining what the environmental impacts are, and also not communicating them in like culturally appropriate ways to communities that are directly impacted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks. That was a really interesting response. I have a little bit of a different question, which is maybe just more about your interest in filmmaking. I'm wondering Why you chose to pursue making documentary films, or like why storytelling in this way is important for you?
Well, both my parents are actually environmental scientists, and I spent a lot of time at their research institute in central Ontario that they ran when I was a child. And I really felt back then that there wasn't a lot of attention to environmental issues and a lot of social issues, and I kind of felt that film was an important way of translating important research that was being done into the mainstream public. But since then I've come to really love the craft of filmmaking, and you know, it's not always about social change. It's partially about that, but also about opening people's minds and hearts and the art of it. So I went to McGill, actually, and did cultural studies and international development undergrad, and I also did a lot of TV McGill, so that's kind of where I started with filmmaking.
Okay, cool. So I think I just have one more question, which is that this film was just released. So what kind of response have you seen so far, or are you hoping to see?
The response has been really great. I've shown it in Vancouver, Attawapiskat, and another First Nation north of Attawapiskat called Piwanik. And, you know, it's fantastic. I think it generates a lot of discussion and questions. And, you know, I hope that the response, and then Thunder Bay, too, was also really great. There was a community member there. And what I hope it does is generate more of kind of cross-cultural understanding and really bringing about a greater awareness of the need for change in order to have a more just and sustainable Canada. Because right now, you know, there's a line that the MP in the film, Charlie Angus, says, we're never going to be the country that we're supposed to be until we find a way to make this relationship work. And I hope the film brings about just sort of all the various issues that are really standing in the way of making a relationship work between First Nations people and the rest of Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I really look forward to watching the film.
And great. Thank you so much. Yeah. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope your listeners come out on Monday as well.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for
great.
Your time.
Thank you so much.
All information about the series is available on cinemapolitica.org/Concordia. Screenings are Monday evenings at 7 p.m. and by donation. And for those of you who are or who know Concordia students, you can now loan or stream previously screened Cinema Politica films through the Concordia Library collection called Cinema Politica Selections. So check that out.